Johnny Saddlebags.
Slippery Pete.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Ain't but one thing to do.
Yep, start banking at Community Banks.
Say what now?
We'll grow this town bigger by doing business with Community Banks. That way, our money will get reinvested locally and help small businesses grow and prosper.
Son of a saddle spur, this town will be big enough for the both of us.
Help your community grow. Find your community bank at banklocally.org.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. Now more than ever. And tonight he's there. Always with a smile, none other than the board op, Kyle.
Hey, Pastor Ernie.
And way out yonder in Texas, that man, the legend in his own time, none other than Big John McTernan.
Pastor Ernie, did you say a legend in my own mind?
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, God bless you, Pastor Ernie, and all the listeners, and may we have a wonderful show tonight.
And here, live with me, right here in the studio, ready to go. He's my high-tech genius. And he's also one of those gun guys. In fact, he makes guns. None other than Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty, so now we got that out of the way. We're ready to roll tonight. John, as you know that... Recently, I did, over the years, John, about an average of 3 to 4 funerals a year over the years. But in 21, I did 9 funerals. And I thought, whoa, that's I've probably never see that again. But to lose 4 friends in 4 days is an amazing thing. And to do funeral after funeral. It's just an amazing, and because of all of that, the questions come up, what happens to us when we die? Where do we go? You know, and so that's what I was preaching. I was preaching on what happens to believers and what happens to non-believers when they die. And tonight we're going to finish what happens with believers. And the last verse is in Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. That's Revelation 22. Verses 1 through 5. Do you have your mechanical Bible?
I'm ready to go, Pastor Ernie.
Well, why don't you read verses 1 through 5?
Okay. Starting at verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves above the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no light and no night there, and there no need of candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
All right, going back to verse 1, we know that many things what God did on earth here were after what had already been made in heaven. For the Garden of Eden example, the one that was here on Earth was after. It was like a type of the one that was in heaven. And when he says here, and we showed me a pure river of water of life, clear of crystal, we know that in Genesis 2:10, you had this river coming out of the Garden of Eden. And here that river went divided up into three areas and watered the whole earth. And now here, and in fact, if we go to, I know you're familiar with Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 5, when the Lord Jesus builds his temple on earth, and out of his throne, underneath his throne, will this river will come out, and it will water Jerusalem, then it will go out to water the entire earth. And so we see this here, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Now, we know, what do we have in the Garden of Eden?
We had the tree of life also in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Absolutely. And here now, the tree of life. Now, what would have happened if Adam and Eve had listened to God and continued to eat off the tree of life?
They would have lived forever, Pastor.
Yeah. And here, so we go and we see here, and there were a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits that yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So we got a couple things right there. 12 manners of fruit. And you have how many months in a year?
12.
And so here now, and they bear every month. They bear their fruit every month. And so here now, he goes on, and there were the leaves of the trees were for the healings of the nations. Why would we need any healing in heaven? Because we'll have glorified bodies, right?
Yeah, we don't need healing in heaven, Pastor.
Okay. But now, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, when he planted that there, of course, afterwards they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. They weren't able to go back. But God gives us the natural herbs for our healing, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, but if you notice there in verse 2, on the leaves of the tree with the healing of the nations are not us. We're the bride of Christ, and we reside, our domain is in the New Jerusalem.
Yeah, but these, this is what he's referring to here in heaven, though, right?
Well, if you notice, they come in. The nations come in to the New Jerusalem.
Okay, this is not during the Millennial Kingdom. This is after the Millennial Kingdom.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, so let's go on to read here. And there should be no curse. We know what the curse is, right? That's death and sickness, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Decay, sin, sin, curse.
And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. How well do you think the servants are going to serve God?
Well, it's interesting, Pastor Ernie, when you look in the book of Revelation, it says we shall be kings and priests, and that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So under God, I see this under God's government, we're kings, but he is the King of Kings. So we're going to serve him like that, and also as priests, because priests serve the Lord in their activities before him.
What about during the Millennial Kingdom? During the Millennial Kingdom, we're going to rule with Christ And will we not be like mayors and governors and senators?
Right. But we're going to serve under his government. Serve in his government.
And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So we'll be able to see God's face once we get there. Why is it we can look up? We'll be able to look upon God then, and we couldn't look upon him today?
Well, if you look, Pastor Ernie, in a Exodus chapter, I believe it's 33, Moses wanted to see God's glory, and God said to Moses, "No man can see my face and live," because that his glory, he's holy. And he's pure, and there's like a force that comes out from him, and sinful man is consumed by God's glory like that.
So,
Moses did see, God allowed Moses to see his, as he passed by, he put his hand in front of Moses' face. And Moses had said, saw the similitude of the Lord, and his hind quarters there as he passed. Now in heaven, we have a glorified body. We have a body like Jesus Christ. The body is without sin. You know, we are without sin. So we can see him. And Pastor Ernie, in the Garden of Eden, when before Adam and Eve sinned, they were in the presence of the Lord.
They walked with God in the garden, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
So with those before sin entered in and their bodies...
Right.
They had
exactly.
Okay, so we'll have glorified bodies. There will be no flesh and blood, because flesh and blood cannot make it into heaven, can it?
No.
And so,
so what empowers us for eternity is the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us rather than blood.
And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now, what do you think the name will be on their foreheads? Because there's many names for God. God has many, many names.
That's a good question. I never thought of that one.
Do you think it might be King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
Yeah. I don't think the word tells us. I'm really stretching my mind here. But his name shall be in their foreheads. I don't know, Pastor Ernie. That's a real good question.
And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So we're talking about Shekinah glory will be the light. Okay, so it'll be light forever. Down in the prisons, often they would have, and sometimes... they would have lights on all the time, 24 hours a day, like they did in some of the jails. And, boy, that's hard to sleep when those bright lights are on. You know, you have to put something over your face and that.
Yeah, it's like being in a hospital, Pastor Ernie, trying to sleep.
Yeah. But now this is not going to be the case there, because with our glorified bodies, we won't be sleeping, will we?
No, there'll be no need for it.
Because we won't get tired, will we?
No. No,
okay,
it'll be a complete different reign, like a life than now.
So we'll be serving God 24/7, huh?
Yeah, one way or another, absolutely. But it's going to be pleasurable, Pastor Ernie. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be rewarding.
So now, if we're born again believers, we're heirs, we're joint heirs with Christ, aren't we?
Yes.
So the Bible says that God owns what? The earth and the fullness thereof. But what else does God own?
The universe.
So if we're joint heirs with God in the universe, does that mean that we'll have access to many other planets out there?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, the Bible doesn't really give detail about that. And Paul, when Paul was caught up to the third heaven there in Corinthians, he said it was unlawful for him to kind of explain what he saw. Remember that, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
So there's things out there that we can't even imagine, and the fullness of God's creative ability will be there, and we will, who knows, Pastor Ernie, what he has throughout the universe, but he's going to use us, the body of Christ, to govern.
Okay, so will we be restricted under the law of gravity in heaven?
No. No, we don't have a... we're not of the earth anymore, Pastor Ernie. We have a body of spiritual body. It's real. It's not like a ghost type thing. It's real, but it's spiritual, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit.
So will we look better than we do now?
Pastor Ernie, it'd be very difficult for you to look better, but I think so.
All right. There you go.
One thing I wanted to say while we were talking about this, when we go to Revelation 21:23, it says, and the city, that's the New Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and of the Lamb is the light thereof. So the New Jerusalem is beautiful. It tells us of all the stones, the beautiful stones and colors that are in it, streets of gold, crystals, and the glory of Jesus Christ is going to shine through that, and it'll be unimaginably beautiful, all those colors with his glory shining through it.
Amen to that. Do you think that in heaven we will see colors that are not visible here on earth?
I'm sure of it, Pastor Ernie. I'm sure.
All right. Boy, there's a lot to look forward to. Now, now we're going to look at what happens to the unsaved. And so we'll start there with Ron. Ron, read Matthew 10:28.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell.
Okay, so how would that apply to, say, Job?
Well, everything they threw at him, he never lost faith.
Well, Satan was able to destroy his body, right?
But not his soul, though.
But not his soul. So yeah. Did Job come out ahead in the end?
He won, yeah.
Okay, so even if the enemy can destroy our bodies, if we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that means that we are simply going to be given a new body.
Yep, we're going to win in the end, and they will lose.
Okay, so go to Matthew 7 and read me verses 13 and 14. And John, you go to Matthew 13 and be ready to read verse 47 and 50, Matthew 13, 47. 15, and Ron, you read verse Matthew 7, 13 and 14.
Okay. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be at that find it.
Okay, so here also, excuse me, oh, that's the wrong passage that I had. Okay, Matthew 7 is what I was thinking of here. Also, read verse 22 and 23.
Verse 7?
Yeah, chapter 7.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy done many wonders, wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
All right. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, few there be that find it. So, John, what do you think? A whole lot of people have a profession of faith, but what do you think the percentage is that actually has a profession of salvation or a possession of salvation?
Well, that gate is narrow, Pastor Ernie, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So it's hard to say. It's just, you know, I guess you could say by their fruits you shall know them. So the way we know that someone has salvation is not by works, but by fruit, that they're showing some fruit coming from them of knowing the Lord and being serving the Lord, and he's your Lord and Savior. But it according to the word, it's small, Pastor.
Have you ever heard of some of the excuses that people have today, in those that are professing Christians? It's unbelievable. Those that have been conformed to the world, okay, they tell you, well, times have changed. You have to conform, or, and I'm talking about professing Christians, or you'll be left behind. Some of the things you'll hear, if I hold the high moral standards, I'll offend some family members and some coworkers. Do you think that's the case? I know that for most people, yes, if you have high moral standards, you're going to be offensive to people. And I myself have been very offensive to some relatives who lean towards the left. And they may have a profession, but you'll see no fruits. If salvation is there, will there be fruits and evidence of salvation?
Yes.
There has to be, Pastor Ernie. That has to happen. To be a believer, that has to happen.
So if some of the things you hear, well, if I've got high moral standards, I'll come across as to some people is thinking, well, that I'm holier than thou, which it would offend even some church members who believe that tolerance of the behavior of others is a show of Christian love. So tolerance of sin, is that a show of Christian love?
It's not a virtue, no. You're actually doing them a disservice because you're, with your lack of guidance, or at least suggestions, you're basically helping them go to eternal damnation.
So if I were to ask you, which man that walked this earth would be the less tolerant of LGBTQ, the less tolerance of abortion, the less tolerance of pedophilia, which man that walked this earth would have been the less tolerant when it comes to those sins?
I'm sure it would have been the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely, it would have been the Lord.
Yeah. You know, Pastor Ernie, we have the woman caught in adultery, and people, I've heard numerous times, they'll refer to that verse to show how Jesus was so loving and kind and all, but he did say to her, go and sin no more. That's how he ended it.
Yeah, they always forget that last line.
He didn't say go and sin maybe not so much.
Or spread it around.
Yeah. Alrighty, we'll be back right after this.
Big John. Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man. Coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John, Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done. Big Baptist John. Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good, Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
All right, we're back. Big Baptist John McTernan is right here with us tonight. Now, got to tell you what's coming up. First of all, a couple things coming up. Oh, I know what it is. I wanted to finish that message, and I'm going to finish the message on what happens to the wicked, and so those that are unsaved. And I'm going to go to Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Those are the Christians, those that receive the Lord. But the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, John, here, the Bible says that we're all going to be resurrected, some to eternal life and some to eternal torment. And so, in their bodies, there's a process that takes place when they're thrown into the lake of fire. And what would that process be?
Well, it'll be eternally, like dying, Pastor Ernie. Eternally, the body is reacting to decay and death and disease, well, injury and all that. So they're like we're eternally living. They're eternally dying.
And so that's a place where the worm never dieth. And so what happens? We saw Herod the Magnificent wasn't so magnificent on his birthday when he was eaten alive by worms, was he?
Right, right. He was exalting himself like as God, and God brought judgment on him, and his bowels opened up, and he was like eaten alive.
So you have and hell, it's eternal torment. It's a continual process
it's
of dying.
Eternally dying, Pastor Ernie.
Do you think if people had even, let's just say, if every person we knew would be given 1 minute in hell, do you think if when they came out they would be repenting?
Immediately. Yep.
I would think so, huh? Boy, anyhow.
They don't hear that in church, so that's the problem. In their minds, hell probably doesn't even exist.
They'll hear it in our church, won't they?
Yeah.
All right, and speaking of that, for this Sunday, for this coming Sunday, we've had to change things up a little bit. And so for this coming Sunday at 8:30 at our normal Bible study, We want you folks to get there early because we have to get the newsletter out, and we're behind. And so we're going to do the newsletter, and then the morning service will be, I'm going to be preaching the morning service, and it's going to be an interesting one. It's one that's it's really going to be relevant for today, one we really need to hear and one we really need to think about. And then from 3:30 to 5, we're going to be watching a really well-done documentary on AI, okay? This is going to be quite educational on AI. It'll be more than what Kamala Harris has told us by far, okay? John, did you hear her
explanation?
Yeah, explanation for AI.
Pastor Ernie, I mean, yes, I did, but I don't know what she said. Something about the two letters stands for two big important words that everybody knows. Some crazy thing like that.
Well,
oh my, what, you know, between both of them are feeble-minded, but one is because of age, and the other one is, I guess she's born that way. But how did she get to that position, Pastor Ernie, with a mind like that?
I know how she got where she went.
Yeah, on
that's
her,
pretty.
On her back.
I know too.
It's
know
common that. Knowledge how she got there.
You know, her mom was actually bragging about this. She offered no apologies for her daughter's ambitions.
Yeah. Anyhow.
And Pastor Ernie, in her.
That's Mayor Jackson, he can tell you.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Brown.
Willie Brown, right. Yeah.
Yeah, Willie. Most people don't know this, and it's kind of kept hush-hush. But in her background, on her father's side, they were big slavers in Jamaica.
Yes.
Yeah,
they had the biggest plantation in Jamaica.
Yes. They were slave owners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's out of the last five presidents, there was only one of the last five presidents was not related to any slave owners, and that happens
Donald
to be Donald Trump.
Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, Donald Trump.
But anyhow, let me give you that lineup. So from 5 to 6:30, Bill Grady, Dr. Bill Grady wrote the book Perilous Times, and it's a dynamite book, Deep Truths for Shallow Waters, and he's going to be there preaching. And he will also be with here, Lord's willing, with me on tomorrow, our Sunday night's radio program, too. So that's our schedule. We had to get that in because I'm going to tell you, things are moving so quickly. Now, speaking of that, mark your calendars for Thursday, July 27th. Thursday, July 27th, Truth and Light at the Town Hall. Be prepared to defeat Ohio's pro-death, pro-abortion, pro-abominable sin ballot initiative. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we have to win this one here in Ohio. There's five other states lined up, and if we can knock and stop it here in Ohio, it'll be stopped in those other states. They've seen that what we can do, and they'll do the same thing. So there's going to be three presenters, all friends of mine, three sessions, call to action, and a short question and answer. Now, this is going to be held at the church my cousin pastors. He pastors the Chardon Christian Fellowship at 401 South Hamden Street in Chardon. That's 401 South Hamden Street in Chardon. The zip there is 44024, in case you're looking it up.
It's right by the square.
Yeah, it's right off the square, just east of the square. Now, these sessions will educate you. They're going to be talking about the fall of Roe and Wade versus Wade. Now what? Understanding the Ohio pro-death ballot initiative. Folks, you really need to try to understand this. And the reality of abortion. Abortion is America's national sin. And guess what, folks? The harshest punishment that God gave, the harshest punishment that he gave for any people, for those who are killing their children.
Yeah.
Okay, so these sessions will educate you and equip you and your family and friends and co-workers to defend preborn children and family values. There's going to be a free of charge, a free will offering will be received. Now, Lord's willing, I'm going to be there too. And so, and this is put on by the Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio. The Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio. And so, mark your calendars for that July 27th, 2023, from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. And we're going to keep giving this because we need to really turn out a lot of people for this. This is very, very important that we win this one. Alrighty. We have a bunch of, we have a lightning rounds. We got to do lightning rounds tonight, John. And so, FBI director denies presence of undercover agents at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Despite evidence to the contrary, Ray will be held accountable for this lie. So, Chris Ray has been caught again lying under oath. Now, here you had, did you hear recently, John, the former police chief of D.C., what he said about how the whole thing, they were crawling with federal agents. It was crawling.
Tucker Carlson brought that out, Mr. Ernie.
Well, this is, I'm just talking about, we brought this out a long time ago.
Right.
But now, just recently, the police chief himself has come out, and he did, he's made it very clear, that's why I think one of the reasons he had to quit. And so what took place, this was pure lawlessness on behalf of the FBI. And here, so in a bold statement that directly contradicts multiple official sources, FBI Director Christopher Wray testified before Congress that he does not believe undercover FBI agents were present at the U.S. Capitol. That is a lie. And did you notice something? Have you been watching those, these hearings, John?
Yeah, particularly with Jim Jordan grilling these people. I've watched him quite a bit.
Jordan is really good at this.
Oh, he's excellent.
Have you noticed something?
Ernie, they have videos. They've identified the agents, not all of them, but they have videos and identified some of the FBI agents that were at that event.
I know. But Chris Wray, these congressmen, Mr. Biggs and others have said, look, Ray, we're going to hold you accountable for this lie. We will hold you accountable. Now, he's lied under oath. Now, that is a federal crime, is it not?
It is, Pastor Ernie, lying to Congress under oath like that. Absolutely.
All righty. So now, of course, who else has been caught lying under oath recently? None other than Merrick Garland. And so, here, let me go. Shame on you, Representative Troy Nehas destroys Chris Wray over his January 6th, catches him in lies on child pornography cases, batters him on Ray Epps. Now, if you notice something, too, if you notice how when Chris Wray used to come in there, he would always have that little smirk on his face?
Yes.
And
yes.
He don't have that smirk now. I've been noticing that. They're really going after him. How long do you think he can hold up?
I don't know. Jim Jordan said something profound. Now, it had to be, I primarily watched him, so I'm not sure who it was. But he played a recording of Biden and someone in that Chinese company there. And he was talking about, I forget the exact details. But Jordan said, does that sound like
a bribe?
Extortion. Yeah. And Hunter said, my father's listening or he's going to know about this.
He's sitting right here next to me.
Yes, that's what it was, yes. And he asked Ray if that sounds like extortion, and Ray wouldn't answer it. He would not. And Jim Jordan saying, listen, millions of people in America, they know what that is, and you not answering it, you know, you're reaffirming that we don't trust you. And so it's like they are absolute. Anybody that watches that can see how corrupt The FBI, the Justice Department, the State Department, all of them are, Pastor Ernie. We have, like, Chicago in the 1930s with Al Capone and the monsters took over the entire city. That's what we have in Washington now.
So, now the two biggest lies that both Chris Reyes and Garlic told, where there is no bias, there is no, we treat both sides, and here's what Chris Reyes said. I'm a Republican. I'm a Republican. He's a registered Republican. So, what is the name? There's a name that, in God's Word, the Bible uses for people that sell themselves, that sell their very souls.
Whores.
Whores. That's what, so is Chris Ray become a whore? I mean, he says that there is no bias. There is no bias. Do you think he knows he's lying?
Oh, well, he knows. Unless his conscience, Bible talks about being seared as with a hot iron. You know, he's lying, but he has no conscience. Now, Pastor Ernie, I didn't know he was a Republican. He was appointed by Trump, but Trump took the advice of Chris Christie. Christie was the one that appointed him.
Well, that was a mistake to listen to Chris Christie. Right.
So why do you think Biden has kept Ray if he's a Republican?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. If he was a real Republican, he'd have been gone a long time ago.
He's a rhino. He's the leader of the herd of rhinos.
Well, I think Chris Christie is the hornless rhino. He's a rhino if I've ever seen a rhino, but you're right. But now, him and Merrick Garland have both been caught lying under oath. And I don't know how they're going to get them, but the Congress says they will, that they're going to impeach both of them. So,
well,
here... Yeah.
The way it works, Pastor Ernie, is for lying, and they have to put, Congress has to put together the evidence of the lies, and the one who prosecutes it is the Attorney General for the District of Columbia, Washington. But he's appointed by Biden, and he's under Garland, so it's not going to go anywhere. Impeachment, everything, there'll be a trial, everything will come out, the public will see everything, and then it goes to the Senate, and there's a trial then in the Senate. Impeachment is like an indictment. It's a political word for indictment, and it'll be out in the open for the public to see. But I don't think there's enough votes to impeach, to remove either any of them.
Well, there's a couple Democrats that are making noises like they might go along with the Republicans. Manchin is one, and that woman, the one who's outspoken against what's been going on the border, the other one.
Sinema?
Yeah, yeah.
From Arizona, the senator.
Yeah, right.
Pastor Ernie, they have to get
60%. Oh, two-thirds, okay.
Two-thirds, well, yeah. You have to get like 67 votes.
Now, before that ever takes place, we'll have that election. Do you think that, do you think Biden's even going to finish his term? Because he's going down fast.
I think with this cocaine revelation, and I just heard they found some marijuana, I think the Democrats are sending him signals, it's time to step down. You know, they do not want him running again either.
Okay, this is not the first time the Secret Service has come out and admit since the Biden's been in the White House, this is the third time they have found a stash of cocaine, the third time. And
they just don't know where it's coming from.
No, and that's not true. They do know where it's coming from.
I know, but I mean...
But the Secret Service is told... They've been given orders. You don't know where this is, national security, so you just stand down on this one, right? And I mean, you know it, and I know it. They know where it's coming from, believe me. What about this? John Kerry makes unbelievable statement on private jets as he lectures lawmakers. Kerry claims that he never had a private jet.
That's not true.
That's not true. Okay. And then when he was questioned, Biden's climate envoy, John Kerry, on Thursday testified before the House Foreign Affairs Oversight and Accountability Committee on his efforts to single-handedly save the planet. Earlier this year, John Kerry expressed that he was part of a select group of human beings who were called to save the planet. Gee, I would have never looked at Kerry as a savior, would you?
Yeah, he's a real angel.
Yeah. But John Kerry is going to stop global warming, he said. Kerry lashed out against lawmakers for calling out his hypocrisy and his private jet use. John Kerry flies all over the world in private jets whilst lecturing the peasants on the virtues of making sacrifices to curb climate change. Do you think, John McTernan, that John Kerry has been getting richer and richer and richer off this climate change, this whole climate...
boondoggle.
Well, hoax. It's a hoax.
Pastor Ernie.
It's
absolutely
nothing. Yeah.
And the other one that's made all that money is... it used to be the senator from Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Al Gore.
Pastor Ernie, they were talking about... now, this is nothing new, what Kerry's doing. I don't know how many years ago it was, but it must have been 10 years or 15 years. But Al Gore was the guy up front. He was like the Bill Gates of climate change and all. And he was talking about the carbon footprint and it has to be cut back and all this. So someone investigated him, and he has like, I don't know the number now, some huge amounts of SUVs. Huge. And he drives all around like in these big SUVs. And then his home was this mansion that they said it would light a small city.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that, Pastor?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And then he's flying around in the jets. He's got these jets. So when he was confronted about it, he said, well, I'm so important that, you know, I need all this. That's what he said. My mission is so important. I need all this. So he's got these huge, I guess, gas guzzlers. He doesn't fly first class in commercial jets. He has his own jet, and his home is enormous. And they were talking about the amount of electricity it consumed. It would be something like 50 normal houses, or some huge number. It'd be enough for 50 houses to use electricity.
All right, here, according to the Fox News analysis, Kerry's family jet is a Gulfstream GIVSP, has made a total of 48 trips, lasting more than 60 hours, emitted an estimated of 715,886 pounds, or 325 metric tons of carbon since Obama Biden was sworn into office, according to federal data obtained by Fox News Digital via FlightAware. Now he,
Ernie, that's only one of them. All those other hustlers, they all have private jets. When they have those Dave Davos meetings, you know, the whole area is full of these private jets flying in there from all over the world. Do you remember, too, about Kerry? His home state is Massachusetts, and they caught him with this huge yacht. He has some huge yacht that's like a destroyer size in the Navy. And to get away from taxes, he registered it in Rhode Island. Do you remember that, Pastor Ernie? That's come to my mind now.
Vaguely, yeah.
He was caught wide open, where he saved some enormous amount of tax by registering it in Rhode Island instead of Massachusetts.
Well, John Kerry says that he doesn't own a jet, but his wife, Teresa Hines, she owns a private jet. He just uses it. He just, he lets him use it, though. Okay, this is an amazing thing, what we have out there nowadays. Unbelievable. All right, we're coming up. We're coming up to a break, and when we get back, we got a lot more to cover because the ongoing persecution of Mayor Rudy Giuliani is a direct assault on fairness. Now, they won't do anything with Hunter Biden. Can bring crack, smoke crack. He can have prostitutions. He can do about whatever he wants.
He can molest children.
Molest children, be involved in human trafficking.
Yeah.
And Chris Ray says, well, he doesn't know of any evidence at all, right?
That they keep releasing just snippets from that laptop, and it's appalling.
Oh, yeah.
Truly appalling.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's worse than appalling.
Did all right. See where Hunter's attorney sent letter, a cease and desist letter to Trump to stop exposing him publicly because it's endangering his life?
I seen Joe Biden trying to gobble up a little girl in the news tonight.
Yeah, sniffing the hair and it just, I cannot believe that he just continues to get away with this.
He was making turkey sounds, but he, of course, he should be pretty good at turkey sounds, right?
Yeah.
But he was trying to gobble up this little girl and scaring the dickens out of her.
And then the mother's sitting there doing selfies with her. It's unbelievable.
Some mother, huh?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, yeah. That's where we're at today. Yeah, this guy, Joe Biden is a pedophile, you know.
Every week he proves it.
Well, his daughter made it. She didn't hide it. You know, she came right out and told it.
Yeah, and that her diary was actually validated. It was authentic.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, we knew that from the word go. All right, we're coming up to break. John McTurnan, get ready because we know that you got your finger on the pulse of everything. So when we come back from the break, we'll expect you to really, really break a story. Are you ready for that?
Okay, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, there you go. You accepted the challenge. And then, Ron, you've got a bunch of articles we want to go through.
Yeah, actually a good news article, too.
But I want to hit on what they're doing to Rudy Giuliani. The D.C. Court of Appeals Board on Professional Responsibility Ad Hoc Hearing Committee recommended to disbar Mayor Rudy Giuliani from the D.C. Bar Association is unfounded and a direct result on justice. In other words, you know, there's no room for people telling the truth out there. There's no room in this society. The deep state that's so corrupt, there is the D.C. District of Crime Court of Appeals is completely corrupt. I mean, that entire judicial system in D.C. is totally corrupt. There's nothing about any of it in D.C. that is not totally corrupted. All righty, we are going to a break. When we come back from the break, we'll start off with Big John McTurnan, and he will really going to enlighten us. You watch. I've got confidence. All right. He's counting down 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Amen. Let's come again tonight. When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged.
By my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted.
Based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up.
I want to be offended.
By my coworkers.
And walk around the office.
On eggshells.
And have my words policed.
By HR.
Words like.
Grandfather.
Peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.